You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Cactus League Report.
Going, goodbye baseball!
On Seattle Sports, the Seattle Sports app, and SeattleSports.com. Brought to you by Pacific Lamp and Supply. Now, the Cactus League Report.
Welcome back to the Cactus League Report. Gary Hill, Shannon Dreher here. Shannon, we had some news the last couple days.
Had a lot of news the last couple of days. There's a new face in camp, and I think I was surprised. I thought, yeah, this is probably it, although it looked like with some injury situations that you had going in the bullpen that they would be looking for help, and they didn't mess around. They went out and they got Ryan Stanek,
who were really familiar with in terms of he's a guy the Mariners have been competing against for the last number of years. He's been part of a really good bullpen. He's got ridiculous stuff. We're going to hear from him later on in this program. It's funny because, at least for me, not what I expected when you talk to him. A little different than the guy we see, the fierce competitor that we see on the mound.
Yeah, it was funny. I was working a half day when he came into camp after he had signed. And when he met with the media, I was sent the audio from it. And I'm listening to the audio in the car. That's the wrong guy.
Right.
They sent the wrong person. Did not sound at all like what I would expect. Just kind of in demeanor. And, you look at guys from across the field and you really have no idea. And he himself said that. He got into the clubhouse and everybody was so familiar, but not. I don't think he knew anybody in the clubhouse, but he had faced almost everybody in the clubhouse. He had seen them across the field for the last few years. So really kind of an interesting situation. And kind of fun in that now you've got a Ranger and an Astro in the clubhouse. And that really just reinforced how much how close all of this is.
Yeah, and the way I guess I've been thinking about it, too, when we know Brash's situation, we have heard the Mariners talk about wanting to get off or needing to get off to a faster start this season. And when you start to look at, okay, what if you didn't have Santos? What if you don't have Brash? Like, that's a lot of high leverage that you hopefully will get at some point in April or May or whatever, but that may not be there the first 2 weeks. And when you're talking about getting off to a fast start, Stanek's the kind of guy that really gives you a lot of coverage in the back end. He's been there.
Absolutely. And that's been my biggest eye-opener in this camp, has been that I've always been of the mindset that, you know, you do hear that teams will look about 45 to 60 games to figure out what they are.
Yeah.
And message is no longer that. You know, the message, everything counts. When you come as short as you have two of the last 3 years, every game counts. And that's being said in the same clubhouses in the division rivals as well. So it's that important. So even if it's just a couple of weeks that you're going to be missing any of those impact relievers, Stanek absolutely fits that. He does that. He comes, he's got the high velocity fastball, he's got the splitter, he's got the slider, he's got the experience, which is an added benefit because when you look at that bullpen, very young still. Mm-hmm. You know, after the trade of Sewald, you don't really have that kind of veteran niche, been around and been through it, and you do, and you've also had a lot of success with Stanek. He brings that, a lot of postseason success, as well as being able to pitch in any situation.
You know, it's a really good point that you make. It is. It's a lot of young pitchers that you're relying on, and he's done it all. He's pitched in the World Series. He's pitched in the biggest games. He's pitched for a team with high expectations, and he brings a lot, I think, in that regard when you look around. And he'll say it when we talk to him. Like, he's upfront about that's what he wants.
Right. Right.
He chose the Mariners for a reason.
Yeah, he liked what he saw. They have a chance to win, and he saw it up close and personal for a good part of last year. You know, one of the interesting things with him, and if you want to dare to dream, if you get everybody back healthy, where does that pen rank?
Well, that's the thing. And I think let's just talk about pure stuff on its own. Munoz, to me, if you talk about who has been most impressive in camp so far, Munoz is it for me because he has looked lights out. And then you hopefully get Brash back to what he is.
He was a top three reliever last year in my book.
And Santos has that potential with his stuff. And I'm really impressed with what we've seen from Vargas.
Yep.
And Spires in that mix. Like, that is one of the best bullpens, with all healthy, perhaps the best bullpen in baseball.
Yeah. With Stanek, too.
Yes.
Yes. And they do like some of the other arms that they brought in to either, you know, fill a spot right now or to be ready when needed.
Yeah.
So it's been really a roller coaster in putting this bullpen together. You know, you think back, and that was my biggest concern going into the offseason, was you need more in the pen, and then you need more to back it up. And it took a while before they added Santos. And when they added Santos, you felt great about it. And then the next thing you know, Santos is in camp. He's not pitching. And then Brash. And, you know, where are you now? But adding Stanek really helps there.
Yeah, those are big strides. Because I remember we had this conversation a lot at the end of last year. We felt like they needed one more stuff guy.
Yeah.
In that bullpen. And not only have they added Santos, but Stanek certainly qualifies as a stuff guy. There's no doubt. And I'm really anxious because we haven't seen we've seen them turn the dials on Unheralded. You know, the Paul Sewald types. We haven't seen a veteran like Stanek with his track record and his stuff come into camp in a while with this current group. So I'm curious to see what that's going to look like. Because he's been here for 2 days, but he's openly talked about he wants to get better and see what this group can do with him. So I'm really curious.
Which is really interesting because I don't think that's something that they would push. They would push the usage, but he's, you know, what more can I do even than, you know, definitely coming in with eyes wide open and ears wide open, which with his experience is a lot of fun to see.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you just mentioned Paul Sewald. They got a Paul Sewald comp in camp right now that they're starting to get excited about, and another name to keep an eye on.
That's the other part about this too is I guess there's still this other barrel full of guys that are in camp.
A barrel that will not be named.
that are interesting, and they're still sifting through. And you know, at some point, you're going to need this other group of guys too. And but I'm just super fascinated by the whole thing. Pitching wise, and I just, if you would have, like, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever, fast forward to where we are right now, and if you would have just watched these Mariners pitchers one by one, Castillo, Kirby, on down through the bullpen, I don't think you would believe the kind of stuff that you're seeing. You know what I mean? Like the velocity. The sliders, I don't know how anyone hits, but this staff is unbelievable.
It is, and it's finally getting that recognition.
Yeah.
You know, you do hear that quite a bit more, and you just hope that you can keep them all healthy and that we can continue to watch it because it's exciting to see. And you're talking about, you know, an established three at the top of your rotation and then two guys at the bottom of the rotation that can do more than what they did last year.
Yeah.
You know, they take a step forward. And it's going to be that much more fun. Emerson Hancock close to, which is so important. And just to see where the entire group is going to go.
Yeah. The last two in the rotation, too, Wu and Miller, to me, they already possibly have the top three, like the best three of any rotation in baseball. But those two could really take this whole rotation to another stratosphere, depending on what steps they can take this season.
And they're so different. You know, you want to lump them together, and they're different in what they're doing
different.
And what they're attempting to do, where they're at in their journey and pitching and whatnot. So it's going to be, you're not watching. It's not a two for one. They're different.
I'm glad you brought that up because they're very different in how they go about everything. Yet there is a similar thread in what they're trying to accomplish. And basically it's like, they're trying to figure out how to get lefties out
right
now.
And they're doing that differently.
And they're doing it completely differently. Like, there's this common thread of the issue they're trying to solve.
Yeah.
Yet everything else is different.
Yeah.
From everything you mentioned, from experience to how they're going about it. It's super fascinating.
It's super fascinating. And I think people would wonder if there are any hitters on this team, the way that we always talk about the pitching.
Yeah, I know.
But that's a good piece, a piece of good news this week, too. I think we're starting to see them find their timing. And we have seen a few instances in the games where they're really passing the baton. And today was the first day we had the debut of the Rake Report up on the board, where it is for everybody to see right under the lineup now. So that was fun to see as well.
So we're going to talk a lot of pitching on the Cactus League Report today.
Now, why wouldn't we?
Why wouldn't we? So we'll start with Ryan Stanek, newest Mariner. We'll do that when we come back right after this.
Now back to the Cactus League Report, brought to you by Pacific Lamp and Supply, live from Mariners Spring Training in Arizona.
Welcome back to the Cactus League Report. Gary Hill alongside Shannon Dreher. We get a chance to visit with the newest Mariner, Ryan Stanek, with us. Ryan, thanks for coming over. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I got to say, you're in a Mariners uniform. What was it like putting on the Mariners uniform for the first time? Was it kind of weird?
Yeah, a little bit. It's a good color combo. I was a fan of it. My wife said I look good, so I think we won there.
When you thought about this decision, what attracted you to the Mariners?
Obviously, playing against them, like you know the personnel, you know the quality of the team. Obviously, not knowing the people, but knowing who's on the roster. I know the quality of the roster, and obviously the quality of the staff and what they've been able to do in developing pitching and doing all that. That was all super attractive to me. It was something that was important to me to go someplace where I knew that I could go there and I could get better and improve what I do. So I think that's something that's very attractive to me, because you never want to go someplace and feel like you maybe missed out on an opportunity to improve yourself, and you get a chance to go do something and play and win. And I think that's super important. I don't know. I didn't want to go someplace and maybe have to battle a rebuild or something like that. I wanted to go someplace. I've played long enough and won enough over the past few years that I want to win. And that's why I'm here.
We've seen the process and grown an understanding of it for years now, but for a long time we'd look at it and think that on the pitching side in particular, this would seem a really good place to go. Mm-hmm. When did that come across your radar, and what did you see that kind of told you that?
I mean, a lot of it is just very apparent when you play against them and you see the stuff that the guys have. You very much understand the dynamic ability that a lot of the guys have, and I'm assuming not all of it is just natural, just they got here and were just able to do that from the get-go. So I think a lot of it came from they're able to refine and add and improve what people already do and then add to what they could do as well. I think that's a big part of it, is you want to go someplace that's on the forefront of being able to develop pitches, to identify what works and roll from there. I think that's super attractive. You can't go somewhere and be stagnant. Mm.
You mentioned wanting to get better. You've already been one of the premier relievers in Major League Baseball. What would you like to do better?
Everything, if I could. I don't know. I think obviously cutting down on some walks would be first and foremost. That's something that's always kind of been an Achilles heel of my game. I feel like I've done a lot of other things well, but that's probably been the thing that I've had the biggest, for lack of a better word, issue with over the course of my career. But yeah, I think that would be first and foremost, and maybe being able to add another pitch or refine another pitch or a breaking ball or something of the sort.
Okay, I heard you might be teasing another pitch. Are you ready to let us know about that?
Or? Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's it's just a different variation of a breaking ball that I've been working on. It's obviously something a little bit bigger than the slider that I'd been throwing before. But yeah, I mean, I've been toying around with it, and it seems to be pretty good. So I'm hoping it translates to hitters. I haven't had much opportunity to throw it to hitters yet. Obviously just being here for a couple of days, but we'll see.
So it was new this off season that you started playing with it?
Yeah, I toyed with it towards the end of the year last year. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of see if it was something that I could even do with my skill set or my style of pitching, if it was even possible. And it seems to be all right, so we're gonna see.
This conversation is so funny. I know Mariner fans are thinking the same thing, right? They've seen you on the other side.
Yeah.
So many times. You have faced the Mariners.
Big bad Ryan Stanek.
That's it, right? Big bad Ryan Stanek. Oh, you look so menacing on the mound. The hair, the beard. And then I talked to you. This is not what I was expecting.
They sent the
I was
wrong
expecting
person
a little
out.
More. I was expecting someone a little more menacing.
Yeah, I'm a lot angrier on the field. Yeah, I've heard that more, and it's funny because my wife hears it, and then she'll be like, they don't know you at all, do they? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, apparently not. But I mean, I'd rather be looked at that way than somebody that looks soft up on the mound. So that's I'll take it as a compliment.
So is this all for mound presence, or just like long hair?
I mean, I don't know. I just kind of started doing it, and when I came up with Tampa, they had hair rules, and they always made me cut it. And then I was like, once they finally got rid of it, I was like, you know what? I'm not cutting my hair. And then I got to the point where it was long, and then I was like, well, I've done it for a couple years now. If I get rid of it now, and if I miss it, and I have to like wait another 2 years until it grows back out. So, no, I think it's just something that I started doing, and I've liked it, and it's not been too much of an issue. So I keep it.
Well, they might ask you to join the rock band. Have you heard that?
I've seen the setup in there, and I'm like, I have no musical talent whatsoever. Anything artistic at all, out. I can't do it.
Spelling bee, maybe?
I could do the spelling bee. Okay. Yeah, I watched that, and I was like, I could do that.
Nice. When you look around at this team, and you know winners. Mm-hmm. You've been on winners. What do you see when you look at this team?
A lot of it. I obviously it's funny seeing it from the other side. It's a team that on the other side was always knockdown dragouts. It was always good games. It was strength on strength. It was like good lineup, pesky, fought, could do damage, could run, and do a lot of things that were problematic to pitching staffs. And then the pitching staff is very apparent of like with the power stuff and the ability to match up and do a bunch of things on the mound. And there's a lot of pieces there that work really, really well. And obviously like a really, really good defense behind you that if you can pitch and play defense, you got a chance every day. And hitting is obviously the hardest thing to do in sports. So if you can hit a little bit and this team can hit plenty, mm-hmm. like you have a good chance to win. So it's very much from my perspective is the pieces are there. It's just go play and try to win as many as you can.
Can you tell us, we've heard a little bit about what was going on with the Rangers from Mitch Garver, but what was that last week like? Two spots, three teams, and I know it was kind of up and down for the Astros in September.
Yeah.
And then it was on.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was that last couple weeks was high stress, high anxiety, like kind of win or go home mentality for everybody involved. It was fun. I think that's the thing that like it was stressful, but like that's why you play. If you're not playing to win, what are you doing? So you're getting in that mode and every game counts and every game means so much more in the moment. It's weird because like typically over the course of a season, one game isn't going to kill you, but like down the stretch it did and it does. So you really start to like think about the games that maybe you gave away early that you shouldn't have given away, or games that like that didn't go your way, and like whatever, like throughout the course of the season, and you're like, man, if we could have just won this series or this series, we wouldn't have been in this situation. So you kind of look at it, and it's I don't know, every game means the same, but it doesn't. And down the stretch when you have three good teams just basically punch and counterpunch for the last 2 weeks, it really makes the game fun. And it makes, I think, as a for somebody who enjoys the game and like enjoys watching the game, you see that, and even being a part of it, you're like, there's some pretty good baseball going on, and it's fun. And it's kind of a shame that like obviously somebody has to get bounced and somebody has to lose, but like you're like that's the game, and it's fun, and I don't know, I enjoyed it.
Visiting with newest Mariner Ryan Stanek. Are you planning to go to more than one Mariners game at T-Mobile Park this season? Well, consider a Mariners season ticket membership. Members enjoy access to exclusive pre-sales, ticket flexibility, no fees, year-round discounts, and so much more. Come on board today, mariners.com/24. We have more with Ryan Stanek coming your way right after this.
Now back to the Cactus League Report, brought to you by Pacific Lamp and Supply, live from Mariners Spring Training in Arizona.
It's the Cactus League Report. Thanks for being here tonight as we continue our conversation with newest Mariner, Ryan Stanek.
I watched your bullpen, your first one with the Mariners the other day, and I've got to know about the cleats.
Oh, those are some old cleats. Yeah, it was funny. I had talked to my agency, and I was like, obviously this decision came about like fairly quickly. So it was something where I didn't have like a lot of Mariners colored stuff. So I a lot of stuff with orange and yeah. So I was like, oh, I can't really wear any of that. So I kind of like weeded through some of my old stuff, and those were some Players Weekend cleats that I had from back when we still did Players Weekend in, I want to say, 2019. And yeah, it's like I play a lot of video games and stuff. It's like that was actually, I had two pairs that year. I had a video game pair. I probably had like, I don't know, they were painted. They probably had like 8 or 9 different games on there. And then I had another pair that was Game of Thrones. It was like
nice.
One of like the houses and one of like the White Walkers. So I had a pretty good shoe game for Players Weekend that year.
What video games are we talking about? What are you going to do?
All of them. I don't know. I play a lot. Right now it's like, when baseball goes on, it's like I don't get to talk to my brother a whole lot. So any chance I get on is I'll play with my brother if I can. I'll play some Call of Duty or whatever he's playing. Yeah, just kind of it kind of depends on the time of year. I play RPG games and stuff depending on like hotel Wi-Fi and whatever. I'll bring my laptop and anything with me so I can game while I'm in the hotel. But yeah, just kind of anything that's going on or is pretty popular at the moment, I kind of dabble in.
So what would you put on a shoe right now?
Right now, I don't know, man. I have not thought about it. I think a lot of people go like kind of wild with their shoes still, and I don't like to go super loud on it, like on any like normal game day shoe, because I don't want to go out and wear something crazy, give up a run, and then never wear them again. So I try to keep it pretty low-key in season, unless there's like a specialty game or like a special occasion. My wife did something cool last year for Father's Day. I had my daughter, and we were expecting a son, and we already knew the name, so she got like a pair of cleats painted for me, and one was pink and one was blue. And they have their names on them, and it was really cool. It was a really, really special like kind of surprise that she had for me for it. And I was like, yeah, she's a keeper.
Aww.
Are you superstitious?
Not really.
Okay. Aww.
But like, I don't know. I'm not really superstitious, but I'm not going to risk it.
That almost sounds like being superstitious.
I'm not going that far.
That's outstanding. Okay, a fun one. So you did mention that the two teams were kind of contentious last year, and there were some knockdown dragouts. Who do you grab when
the
Mariners and the Astros?
I thought that was a great way to put it.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we cleared benches a few times.
Yeah, where were you when that happened?
Running. Yeah, running in. Yeah, I'm not one to try to miss out. yeah, no, who am I grabbing on the other team? Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to go jump into any of my other buddies.
Who are you looking forward to facing on your former team?
I don't know. I don't know. The weird thing is I faced so many of them like before I got there.
True.
And I have a lot of good buddies on that team still. So it's going to be weird. Like facing them in live VPs in spring training like was weird enough, let alone guys that I played with for 3 years and facing them in season. It's going to be interesting because it's going to definitely be a battle of like who knows who better, and
right.
We definitely know each other far better than most, so it'll be pretty interesting.
Who's the Mariner that you're excited that you don't have to face anymore?
Ty France.
That's quick.
Every time. I literally told him, the first time I saw him, I was like, I'm glad I don't have to face you, because I don't think I've missed his barrel but maybe one time, and it's so annoying. Yeah, for whatever reason, he's I feel like he's seen me well, and yeah, I'm glad I don't have to face him anymore.
It's wild, I think, looking at this current bullpen that you're in now. You throw 100. You're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like five guys in this current pen that throws 100. The stuff is overwhelming when we look at it from the outside. What do you think when you look at Munoz and Brash and everyone else who you're with now?
I mean, it's a lot of guys that I've kind of witnessed up close. Like on the other side, you see what they can do and what they're capable of, and it's all impressive. And it's like, being a reliever is hard enough, and like having the stuff that they have, it feels like it gives you a better chance. Like there's so much high octane stuff in baseball now that it's hard to overlook, especially when you can accumulate so much in one group. I feel like it gives you just a little bit more wiggle room. It's hard to be good every day, especially in the bullpen, because the job is inherently kind of volatile. But like, it gives you a little bit of margin to, like, maybe make a mistake and get away with it if you have big stuff. And I think there's obviously plenty of it in the pin here right now. So I think it's definitely gonna be fun. It's definitely not gonna be like a lot of bullpens I've been in the past where you got a couple guys that can really reach back and get it, and whenever you got four or five guys that can flat out bring it is different.
You've shown the ability to pitch in any role in any situation in a bullpen, and you can be called upon at any time, especially they leverage situations mm-hmm. here. How do you get ready once the game is underway? What is a typical day in the bullpen that you might pitch in look like for you?
Honestly, I like to come down after a couple innings because, like, I know typically, I'm not going to be the first guy called because I'm not a long guy, but, like, so – I like coming down like after a couple innings because then my mind doesn't just like obsess over what I'm about to do. I think a lot of it is the game is stressful enough mm-hmm. that like the more you can not latch on to every single thing that happens, mm-hmm. it gives you a little bit of time to breathe and kind of like gather, and then when you go out there you can really lock it in for X number of innings. Mm. So it's like if you go out there and say, I don't know, the third inning, instead of being like dialed in where you feel like you can't blink for nine innings, you're like, okay, I can lock it in better for six. And like I think a lot of it is the mental fatigue. It's not so much just for one day. It's over the course of 162. It's such a grind mentally because being when I was the younger guy in the bullpen and like going down in the first and like never knowing when you're gonna pitch, like you have obviously haven't established yourself enough to where you kind of have a role or at least some sense of like where you might pitch, you're like, well, I could go in the first or I could go in the eighth. I don't know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like that like build up all the time mm-hmm. is it's not so exhausting for a week or 2 weeks. It's by the time August, September hits and like you've been doing it for 140 games and you're like, why am I so tired? Like your ability to kind of like regulate that a little bit helps to sustain a full season. And I think that's something that a lot of guys, it takes a while to learn mm-hmm. because it's not a sprint. It's very much a marathon, and the ability to kind of throttle throughout the course of the year to where you can last and sustain like real like success is hard. So you kind of learn how to navigate through that, and I think that's such a big factor in being consistent.
It would be really easy to think that's just normal for the role, I would think, that this is how it feels to be. How did you come to the realization that, hey, no, it's not. You can control that a little bit.
I honestly don't know. It's just something that, like, some of the older guys had just kind of, like, talked to me about and, like, trying to understand where you're going to pitch and what your role is, what your situations, what your pockets are, like, trying to piece that together so you can understand it earlier. And sometimes you're in situations where obviously that's not in your control, and sometimes you might throw in situations that's probably not the situation you're going to. So it's like you have to be ready, but that's kind of par for the course. But as a typical day goes, you kind of can understand and watch the flow of the game and get there. But yeah, it's not an easy process, especially as somebody that's young and excited and wants to like pitch in like they want to pitch every day, and you're like, that's not sustainable. You can't pitch every day, so you kind of have to learn how to take a little bit of like foot off the gas and understand the rest of the game a little bit more. And I think a lot of it just comes with age and experience and seeing a lot of different things and how things can go well and how things can go sideways and understanding both.
Last one for you. For Mariner fans that have seen you pitch a ton, obviously, but don't really know you, getting to know you, what should they know about you?
I have no idea. probably more of a goober than people would expect, I guess. I don't know. That's probably about the best I got. Nice.
Well, thank you so much for coming over. It's great to get to know you, and we're looking forward to seeing you as part of this bullpen. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
There was Ryan Stanek. Take your next outing to T-Mobile Park with a Mariners suite. For family celebrations to company outings, the Mariners have the perfect space for your event. Enjoy catering, hospitality, VIP parking, private Skybird entry, so much more. Reserve your suite today, mariners.com/suites. We're going to chat with CJ Gilman. He's the Mariners minor league hitting coordinator. We're going to do that next.
Now back to the Cactus League Report, brought to you by Pacific Lamp and Supply, live from Mariners spring training in Arizona.
It's the Cactus League Report. The Mariners breakout game coming up on Friday against the Padres will feature a lot of the top prospects for the Mariners: Cole Young, Cole Emerson, a lot of the big names. It's going to be super fun coming up against the Padres. So we thought it'd be a good time to check in with Mariners minor league hitting coordinator, CJ Gilman.
You're a guy, during the season, you just travel around all the different places. You see these players everywhere. This is the only time of year that you have everyone in the same building. What do you want to accomplish this time of year?
Well, first off, it's chaos. there's just people everywhere. But what we want to accomplish at this time is we want to get everybody on board. We want to get all of our players, new, you know, first-year guys, second-year guys, kind of all on the same page, onboarded. Our messaging, you know, they can never hear it enough. So getting them in a room, chalk-talking, going through practice, getting them used to practice design, just getting their bodies ready, and, you know, not overcooking it before we go try to play 140 for the next 6 months. So keep everybody healthy, get everybody ready, get everybody on the same page, get coaches on the same page. Every year we've got new coaches with new players. So just trying to make sure that everybody's just ready to go and we can hit the ground running.
You talk about messaging, and that's something we've talked about a lot on our air, especially from the pitching side. What does that messaging look like in the system on the hitting side?
They mirror each other a little bit in terms of dominating the strike zone. You know, you hear that on the pitching side a lot. The biggest difference between hitting, you know, hitting and pitching are two completely different sports that are just played on the same field. If you think about, you know, tennis, we are the guy that's always returning the serve. We don't control anything. We don't start with the ball. We don't control the timing or the tempo. So a lot of our messaging, you know, centers around the things that we can control. And swinging at strikes and controlling the strike zone is the one thing that we control more than anything. We choose when we swing. We choose when we don't, as well as our minds. You know, your brain is going to – you're playing a game that's, you know, designed for you to fail when you're hitting, you know. So if you can do it 3 out of 10 times, you're going to play, you know, for a long time. And I don't know that I would say a lot, but there's enough people that can do that. There are far less that can – you know, deal with getting out those 7 times and, you know, not lose it, not stray off track, not drift. So I would say those two things, you know, taking care of what we can control, and our minds are one of those things.
How valuable is this time of year, speaking of communication, for all the hitting coaches on the minor league side in the same building, all of the major league hitting coaches? Everybody is in the same spot, and it's the only time during the course of the year that happens. How valuable is that time for the synergy of communication that the org always talks about?
Yeah, I wouldn't trade it for much. I mean, every org says, you know, we're aligned from top to bottom and all that. And I haven't been everywhere, but you hear stories and it doesn't sound like they're all that aligned. We are very much aligned. You know, I communicate with JD and the major league staff every single day, and, you know, we're interacting, we're working with the same guys in camp. Having everybody in under one roof, though, is as valuable as it gets, because, you know, our half of our minor league staff is in major league camp from a hitting standpoint for, you know, a couple weeks, and then your AAA staff kind of stays in after it. And so there's a lot of just intermingling that becomes really helpful as far as, you know, when you just have a question or a conversation that you want to have, it's just right across the hall, you know, and it's not, hey, you know, can we set up a time, you know, with phone call and this? And you know, it's a little tougher in the off season. So having everybody here is great, but we do the same thing with our coaches. We have a weekly call with them in the off season to do continuing education stuff. Just communicate and just stay in touch really in general. So this is the best for that. But it's also chaos here, and it's just like trying to get through the day without, you know, wrecking the train some days. So it's great, and it's tough. So it's, we try to utilize all of it.
That's why we appreciate your time so much. You're taking out part of your busy days. So we certainly appreciate it. You know, we watch Major League spring training games, and it's different than the regular season, obviously. On the hitting side, it's guys just trying to get ready for the regular season, and that's different than being in the regular season, right? But for minor leaguers, when they play in a minor league game or even a major league game, is there something different that you are looking for when they're getting ready for the season as opposed to like a 10-year major league vet, for example?
Yes and no. You know, at the same time, we're still just looking for guys to get better at the skill that we know translates to the big leagues, which is dominating the strike zone and swinging at good pitches and making good decisions. It's certainly different for a minor league hitter. Honestly, I just want to – you're just hoping they look different physically. You're hoping that they're moving faster, hitting the ball harder, making better decisions, whatever you gave them, you know, in their off season for, from a player plan standpoint. But you are, you know, it, we try to treat it in a way of, you know, winning is a skill. And even winning a spring training game, you know, we're here, we might as well win. And that doesn't mean, you know, winning at all costs and, you know, running guys out that don't need to be out there and all that. But the game is the game, you know, whether it's in Arizona in February or, you know, in Seattle in October or in Modesto in the middle of July. The skills are all the same. You know, pitchers are going to use different arsenals in spring training and work on things and do all that. And, you know, you can work on things, I guess, as a hitter, but really more than anything, you're just kind of testing your mettle and seeing what, you know, if at all, what you did this offseason, if it's going to help you, if it's something you need to make a part of your game, or if it's just like, hey, let's just go out there with a clear head and swing at a good pitch and, you know, try to do some damage with it.
It's been really fun for us. We've gotten a really good glimpse at some of the young players that everyone's really excited about. You go down the list, Cole Emerson and Cole Young and Tyler Locklear, we've seen a glimpse of. How excited are you in a general sense about where the hitting is at for all the young players in the system?
I don't think I could be more excited, you know, for where we are right now. And it's been pitching heavy, you know, in years prior, and you're seeing that kind of graduate into the big leagues and have a real impact. It's exciting for that exact reason. Just knowing that, you know, our processes and what we're doing and the work we're doing is translating into just better baseball. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't go how you planned every single time, but that whole crop of guys that, you know, most of them are young right now, but some of them are kind of creeping up into the double A level, and, you know, they've been in camp this entire time, and we've had a lot of at-bats in camp. I mean, Cole Young's been playing every other day, it feels yes. like, and, you know, we drafted Johnny Farmello hit a home run yesterday, and we drafted him, I don't know, 7 months ago. So spring training games are a little different now. Different younger guys are being able to play, and I mean, it's a ton of fun for me because I've got to see these guys go into their first game and, you know, be a nervous wreck for, or maybe not, you know, but most of them are. And to see them kind of settle in and kind of show who they are and get a little bit more comfortable, I mean, it's incredibly exciting, and it's only going to, you know, pay off as the season starts.
Yeah, as you mentioned, for a while I thought Cole Young was going to lead the Cactus League in at-bats. Right. He's playing every other day. And we have the breakout game coming up on Friday, which is going to be super great. What a fun way to highlight a lot of the young players you're talking about. Let's talk about a couple specifically. You mentioned Johnny Farmello. We haven't had a chance to see him a lot down here, but what stands out about Farmello?
We call him the Ferrari, the body, the speed, the tools. That's what stands out. Big, strong, fast. You know, he does everything that you would want a baseball player to do from a tool standpoint. And we're learning a lot about him now from just a mental standpoint. You know, the way he goes about his day, his routines, taking care of himself. It's It's impressive. And we know, you know, with hindsight, you kind of find out how important that is, especially for guys that, you know, are as tooled up as he is. You know, when the sports cars go fast, they need some maintenance sometimes too. So he's just been a blast to just watch. We didn't get to see him really last year because he didn't get out to the affiliates as soon as, you know, the other guys did. So we didn't really know what we had. He had a good little, I think it was a 3-game stretch. You know, we just sent him up for the playoffs, which we were like, what are we doing? And he was great, you know. Great. So it was just to be able to see him kind of do it every day and to, you know, confirm maybe what we saw. It's been a blast to watch him.
I feel like there's a name that's kind of under the radar in Aiden Smith. What are your thoughts on what you've seen from Aiden Smith so far?
Yeah, I mean, if you can call it a sleeper, you know, I don't know that he's a sleeper, but he's, when you have 3 first round draft picks, you know, if you're not a first round draft pick, I guess you get talked about less. I've been so impressed with him just from what he showed up as. He was great last year for us when he went up to Modesto and did a lot of work this offseason. I happen to just have a previous relationship with the guy that he hits with, and he hits at a place that, you know, they do a lot of great things. There's a lot of really good big leaguers that go through there. And, you know, he hit with those guys every single day. And so you just kind of get to see what it has to look like if you're going to do it at a high level. And he's just got a little bit of a different, you know, aura to him this year, almost like, you know, a bit of a been there, done that, you know. And that's on such a small scale right now, but it's just hopefully going to continue to grow. He's, you know, he's maturing still physically, and he's a big, strong kid, and he makes a lot of contact and does a lot of damage when he hits it. So it's he's going to be a really fun one to follow.
We've mentioned Cole Young a bunch of times, but Scott referenced him as an advanced bat the other day, and especially when you look at his age, you know, 20 years old, right? And he's been really impressive, because if you didn't know his age and just watched him in these games, you wouldn't know any different. It looks like he belongs. What do you see in Cole Young?
Yeah, when you put one flap on the helmet and all of a sudden they look a little bit different in the box.
That's a great way to put it.
He has the slowest heartbeat that you will ever find, and that is a great quality when you match it up with a good skill in the box. He makes a ton of contact. He has good at-bats. He's got a little bit of thump in there every now and then that he surprises you with. I think the most impressive thing with him is whether he's, you know, starting his career in the ACL, playing in Everett last year, playing in a major league spring training game, whatever it is, he's just the same guy. Mm. He's a guy that you appreciate more and more and more every time you see him play. You know, you might catch him on a day and he might not do anything that, you know, you walk away being completely wowed by, but it's just every time you show up, he gets a hit, you know, he draws a walk and makes the routine plays and does everything he's supposed to do. And that's a superpower in a game that, you know, you play 162 times. Just being the same guy every single day is, you can't really, we try to teach it, but you know, when it comes that naturally to a guy, it's something you really want to harness. And it's something that he doesn't get too excited about much. And that's a good way to be in the box when the bullets are flying 100 miles an hour.
Well, to me, that's the ultimate compliment, not only in baseball, really in life and anything.
Right.
You appreciate someone more and more and more watching him over time. CJ, this was great. I really appreciate all the time. I really enjoy our conversations. You've given us some great insight tonight. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for having me.
There was Mariners minor league hitting coordinator CJ Gilman. Hey, the Mariners promotion lineup stacked with some incredible giveaways this April. Don't miss the Julio No Fly Zone Bobble, April 1st through the 3rd. The Ken Griffey Jr. Home Run Robbery Bobble, 15th to the 17th. Just get your tickets and the complete promo schedule, mariners.com/promos. Well, we have the game for you coming up next. Mariners and A's, it's coming your way right after this.